Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mini Baby Bell Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Baby Bell Original, Mini Baby Bell Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Baby Bell Light.
When you're in that restrictive mode, it doesn't even matter if it doesn't taste good. It's like, it's the fact that it is the forbidden food that you're like, I'm just going to eat it all because I'm never going to be able to have this again. Like, I don't care like what it's like. Like, you're not even truly tasting it. You're just eating it out of like. Yay.
Welcome back to Straight Candid Podcast
with Sid
and Soph, where we take pride in normalizing taboo conversations, saying the wrong thing, drinking too much caffeine, and talking too fast.
Here at Straight Candid, we live unfiltered. No edits, deletes, or drag and drops. Just two Minneapolis girls who hit record and keep it candid.
Let's get into it.
That's how we started. That's how we started off today.
Oh my God, we're like actually nutty.
Oh gosh.
Oh gosh.
Oh wowzers.
We always have like this weird accent when we start the podcast.
I have something in my tooth. You were looking at it.
No, but I have gum in my mouth. Whoa. Take that out.
Oh yeah, otherwise.
Hey guys, welcome back to Straight Candid Podcast.
I love the green eyeliner that you have on.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm going to wear it to the concert on Saturday, too.
Oh, my God.
I decided.
Terufist.
Terufist. How are you?
Are we starting? We're in?
Yeah, we're in.
Oh, yeah, we're live.
Babe, we've been in.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so good. I am just getting off my two-day hangover. And, yeah.
The second day is almost the worst.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was actually horrible. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. But we were in I was in Vegas this weekend celebrating my little sister's 21st birthday.
Hey, Tay-Tay!
And it was a time.
Well,
okay.
I gotta say, y'all looked hot.
Thank you, sugar.
For all the pictures you posted. So I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you. I like to get dressed up. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I love getting dressed up. Like, that was so fun to like go and get like a little fancy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Speaking of all your cute outfits, quick go into your closet after this?
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
sure.
Thanks.
Yeah. You kill me.
I need to go shopping in Sid's closet real
quick. I have way too many clothes. I won't lie to you guys. I overspend on clothing. Yes.
That's
like
the one
last episode. Yeah. That's my one like weak point, and I like doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm starting that like to know it link thing.
Yes.
So that, okay, if I'm going
to. Makes up for it.
Yeah, I'm going to lean into the addiction. Eventually, hopefully it will. But like right now, it definitely doesn't. I've made like $0, but that's okay. That's okay. It's all good.
That's okay. I actually talked to Classically and Chic, and she said we should start linking our outfits in the YouTube videos too. So
that's actually a really good idea.
Random fact, we might start doing that because I'm not going to lie. Like your blazer you're wearing right now, adorable.
Thank you.
My pants, not to toot my own horn, like adorable.
No, your pants are really cute.
Like you cute, you me go, cute.
Not to toot my own horn, but.
My pants are fucking sick.
Also, this jacket is really hot under this hot light. You know what I mean?
It's a little
warm. G-shirts.
Okay. So your weekend, Vegas was fun.
Can I give you the overview?
Yeah, it was the craziest shit that went down.
Well, we went to a very fancy restaurant, which we treated Taylor and her boyfriend to, and it was so effing good. But I just told you guys the story, but I feel like I should tell you this because like being aware is so smart. And then I'll tell you the fun part.
Okay.
Because like two parts. We were supposed to go to Rufus. We got all dressed up. We Ubered to the area. We Ubered to the concert area in Old Vegas, it's called. So it's like the OG Vegas, like bunch of it's just crazy. And there are a lot of characters running around there. And I'll explain why I said that. So we go to Chick-fil-A really quick, get a sandwich. We're like, we got to hold us over. We're going to go get a drink before we walk into the concert. And we're walking through the hotel that overlooks the open concert. The concert was outside. And there's a man. And I was the only one that noticed him right away. And then everyone looked. He had a bulletproof vest on and a large backpack with what looked to be probably something like guns in it, walking through the hotel. And the reason you can tell what it is because there were pieces sticking out of the backpack. So like...
Like nice... Wait, why? Like why would he hide it like a little bit?
Because he's he clearly had issues.
Like the cock of the gun. Yes. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like
honestly, it kind of makes sense. But you were like...
Yeah. I did a
the
cock...
The hand motion.
I literally
I'm like,
made a
oh,
cock
wow,
motion.
Okay. But so this weird ass backpack and I started panicking and I was like, you guys stop walking.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell? What are you talking about? So I thought I was just getting myself all wigged out, but it's an open concert. We all are aware of what happened a while back and the terrible, terrible thing that happened in Vegas at an open concert. And I walked to security and I was like, okay, maybe I'm overreacting, but like, let's just make sure. And so I tell him the story and he's like, where did this man go? And I'm like, he went right over there.
The fact that the security guard was alarmed,
that's
I would have been out. I would have been out.
That's why we didn't go. But
especially with what just went down with like the Travis Scott Astroworld.
Yeah.
Like just the concerts in general are like freaking me out. And I haven't been to a concert in so long and I'm going to one this weekend. And now I'm like very paranoid.
You know that Rufus is my favorite artist. Like, yeah, of all time. Like, and I like was looking forward to this for months.
Yeah.
And I chose safety and like just being like a little more on guard than going to the concert. And everybody was wigged out and everybody that heard around us didn't end up going either. And the security guard literally goes, something similar to this happened last week and I need to find him now. Like, I have to go. And I was like, okay. So anyway, didn't end up going, but we ended up going to Steve Aoki and
That would be just as fun.
We got Taylor like a happy birthday sign. I've never seen someone thrive more in my entire... She was so hammered. She's just like, whoa! Her hand was waving up in the air. She's got her drink. It's like splashing around in the air.
21st.
They brought the happy birthday sign. You know, aww, where they like go like the weird like I'm nothing against bottle girls, but they just kind of stand there and just go,
yeah,
back and forth with the bottle. But it was so freaking funny. Taylor was like making funny noises when like an old man would hit on her. She'd go, ugh! Like right in his face. And I go, oh, that's my God, we're so similar. It's scary.
That's a good way to like get him to leave. Just,
yeah. But you know what felt really good?
Hey, baby.
Yeah, sure. What felt really good was Jordan noticed creepers creeping on Taylor and I. Finally. Because you know how guys, like sometimes they don't notice. Like
they never. Like when you're single as a dude, you don't pay attention to other creepy dudes creeping on girls.
No,
but when you care about a person, like Jordan cares about you too, and then they start to notice and they're like, whoa, is that what it's like to be a female? It's like, yeah, it fucking is.
I don't like even wearing tight clothes like majority of the time. But you know what? I was in Vegas. I was like, I want to look fleeky.
Yeah.
So watch the fuck out. And Jordan literally goes, what the hell, dude, to a guy. And I was like, yes.
Ooh, that turned you on a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you sexy little thing.
You like, you slap a guy's butt at the bar, like give him all these signs that you're interested in, so he comes up to you. So then Jordan will just get pissed. Not
like,
I've done
that
for what?
He's so pissed.
I've never done that one.
Shut up. Whatever.
Oh, no, I would never.
But let me tell you about the flight and then I'll shut up about Vegas. But it was actually the best time. So we're at the club and Jordan's on his phone and I'm like, what are you doing? And I do this thing where I think I'm not drunk, but I'm actually drunk when I'm drinking. So anyway, I was like, I'm not drunk, Jordan. It was 3:30 in the morning and Jordan's like, oh, I just switched our flights. And I'm like, to when? 6:30. Oh, my God. I'm like, so that's why you've been mixing in waters for the past like hour and a half, you turd. So we go to bed at like 4:30 and we woke up at 5:30. I'll show the photo of what I looked like in the airport. I couldn't even carry my bag because I was so like delusional. I didn't even know what was going on in the world. And then I woke up and I was in Minnesota. So
he didn't even tell you.
He didn't tell me. He goes, oh, sorry. I should have told you. I'm like, yeah, you should have told me. What the hell?
Nice.
Anyway, Vegas was a good time. We chose the smarter decision. I will never regret that. You know, I'd rather be safe than sorry with everything going on. And that's it.
I'm glad
anyway,
you had
sorry.
A fun time.
It was really fun.
We like a little catch up.
Do you? Okay,
was
good.
Was that an encompassing or straight canon moment? Or do you have like particular moment?
I had one about a man, but I'm blanking on what it was. I was hoping when you started talking. I gagged in front of a guy and I like kind of did a little spit up when I did a shot and he was looking at me like he was going to come over and talk to Taylor and I. And I did a little like one of those. He turned right around.
He was like, bye.
See ya. If you can't
That's
handle
great.
That, I'm not buying you a drink,
that
honey.
Is great.
I'm like, sorry, it's been a while. God.
Speaking of puke,
whatever.
So I coach at Barry's in North Loop. It's a fitness studio. I had my first puker.
You did?
It was his first time.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I feel bad.
And no one noticed. I didn't smell it. After class, he comes up to me. He goes, hey, thanks for class. Like, I was like, oh, God. Like, I I was like, oh God, what's he gonna tell me? Like, oh, no. Like singling me in the corner, you know?
Oh, you I'm could
like,
tell I'm like, something I'm
like,
was secretive.
Like something's weird. Like, what's is he gonna ask me? Like, and I got like freaked out. God. And then he goes, by the way, he's like, thanks for class, but I did puke in the corner over there. I just wanted to let you know to make sure it gets cleaned up before next class. And I was like, I don't know if I should be happy or like, I honestly felt like pretty accomplished. I was like, fuck yeah. I made a dude puke.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't look. I just said, hey guys, so someone puked in the corner. We just got to make sure we get cleaned up.
Oh my God. I feel really bad for him.
I do too.
It's like, can you imagine even in like the second grade when you, I think I puked in class once or somebody did. And I was like, oh my God, the secondhand embarrassment was like, cringeworthy.
I don't get though. Like I've never puked from working out. Like, why do you keep trying so hard then? Why not just like stop and rest for a second?
Maybe he had an irritated stomach. The only time I puked one time from working out was because I was already ill.
Yeah, no, you know? He puked because he was dead.
Oh no, buddy. Oh,
I know. I think he came with a girl. I think he came with a girl, and I think they were
probably trying to see him throw up.
I don't know, but I think they were trying to, you know, impress each other. So,
oh my God, my stomach is like, okay. If I see someone puke, I'll throw up. I'm not kidding. Yeah. It's like instantaneous. Mm-hmm. I'm like, great, thanks, buddy.
Oh my God. But no, people don't always puke in berries.
I was going to say that never happens. But wow.
But okay,
wait, do you have a straight cannon moment?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to tell me?
Obviously, yeah.
Did you miss me this weekend?
I missed you. That was my straight cannon moment.
I knew it. I knew that's what you're going to say.
No, I actually had a really relaxing weekend. It was awesome. I needed it. So yeah, straight cannon moment. Number one, had the hottest fucking makeout last night.
Oh, whoa.
That's all you get. Number two, I farted in the elevator.
What the hell?
I'll tell you more later.
Okay.
I farted in the elevator on the way up here.
Okay.
So that was nice. Someone else came in. Great. We love it.
Yeah. You're the guy that the guy that gets in, rips booty hole, and then it's like floor like X, and
it was me.
Mm-hmm. And they walk into it, and you like basically you Dutch oven them in the.
I honestly wasn't. I was thinking of so many other things like this podcast, and all of a sudden I was like, "Oops, I just farted." Anyways, third straight cannon moment I had a hair appointment today, and we were just, it's literally full gossip. It's so fun.
Well, that's hair appointments in a nutshell.
I left, and I had ordered, this is what happened at my hair appointment. I ended up ordering sloppy dick mints.
What?
Do you know what sloppy dick mints are?
I have no idea.
Do you know what they are?
I was waiting for Jackson because he looked like he might know. And then he was no, I don't know.
Apparently it's like on TikTok, which is why the one guy who was doing the other girl's hair knew about it. He's like, yeah, they're sloppy dick mints. Like you just put them in and it makes your mouth like salivate. And I was like, what? He's like, they're actually fucking good. I'm like, I want sloppy dick mints. And I just think it's funny because they're called sloppy dick mints, but they're actually called shit. I know the name. I could end the live
and tell
you guys.
So you're supposed to just pop it in before you do anything cray cray?
If anyone knows what I'm talking about on the Instagram live, please.
I have no idea what that is. I've never heard of it. God, I need to like get out of my bubble. Like I barely know anything about anything. I swear to God.
But anyways, yeah.
I almost did buy you something about that was a dick shaped lollipop in Las Vegas.
Oh my God,
I didn't
you
get
know
it for
I would
have. I know.
Loved...
Sorry, the line was too long. I love you though.
I'm proud of you.
I could Amazon it instead. I'm going to leave.
Hey, A for effort.
It was A for effort. And the thought.
And the thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Sid, for the thought of a dick sucker. I love that.
It was
that.
Really cute, though. It was actually really cute, I thought.
Because, like, honestly, I was going to say I would need that action, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
It was just like a cute little lollipop. I don't know. I just thought of self. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe that is. I was like, I'm going to get this for her. And then I'm like, nah, I'm not going to get it for her.
I mean, I do love licking penile penises.
I think we're on one today and I am sweating. Holy
This is
Hannah.
Supposed to be an episode about like.
It's about a little food, more seriousness.
Like a little more seriousness. So the people that are listening are probably very concerned if this is not your type of podcast. So hi.
My
name
welcome.
Is Sophie.
I'm Sid.
I like dicks.
And I'm Sid. And I also do, but I don't openly tell people that very often. So here
yes.
we are. And
here
now
we
we're
are.
Here. Anyway,
here we are.
No, we have a really good episode for you. And we have a guest coming on and her name is Denver. And we'll tell you all about who she is and what she's got for you. Right now.
So Denver is, I've actually followed her on Instagram for a little bit and I've related to a lot of her content and I like sent her profile to Sid and Sid was like, wow, she would be an amazing guest to come on because so many of our audience or our listeners are college age and that's when you're like in the most vulnerable state to kind of develop these disordered eating patterns and compare your body to other people. And yep. Denver is a sports nutritionist, strength and conditioning specialist, and she's in her master's right now for a nutrition program to become a registered dietitian. So she herself has gone through like patterns of restricting binging, and she is going to kind of tell her story and like what helped her kind of find peace with her body and find peace with food. So she wants to help girls overcome disordered eating and find their love for food and exercise in like a healthy manner. Yeah. So we're really excited.
I mean, eating disorders don't need to be extreme. There's a spectrum of it, and like patterns that are just unhealthy. Like it could be a pattern, mm-hmm. could be an eating disorder, could just be disordered eating, could be the XYZ. There's a million things under the sun. And we've talked about mental health and we've talked about balance, but we've never dove all the way into this. And I'm actually really excited to talk to her a little bit too about even my own questions about dairy and wheat and gluten and things that make me like vomit, and why some weeks do I just like feel like I'm gonna puke all the time or have the most extreme heartburn in the world, and and just like different patterns from my past. Because even as people are sending in on the live, like things like my parent had disordered eating and I'm realizing now I do, and it's subconscious and I had no idea it was just like doing it to me, which I think is probably me in a nutshell too.
I mean, like, to a certain extent, I think a lot of women, and I should say men too, I should encapsulate everyone, especially like I know the LGBTQ community deals with this a lot too. Like, I've had a lot of my gay friends come out and be like, I also deal with disordered eating. Also straight men, like, I get it, like body dysmorphia is everywhere, but I think to a certain extent we all deal with it a little bit, slightly.
I do too.
And like people that think they don't, like, for example, says like, no, I've never had that, but like I'm also like, are we sure? Like, let's dive into
No, we're not sure. The answer is no.
You forget to eat all day. And I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah, you know?
Like, that subconsciously, that's probably something too. And like,
totally.
I've had a past of, I'll tell a little bit about my past really quick. I'll make it like a couple minutes.
No, you can go for it. No.
So we did talk a little bit about this. I will rewind with episode 9. Vanessa did a really good job of telling her story about binging, restricting. And I kind of mentioned on that podcast, like at the time I thought I was okay. Like I was just health. I was working out and tracking calories. And I lost a lot of weight my freshman year of college. Like I looked unhealthy.
Yeah,
like,
I remember you telling this
my
story.
My dad telling me that I looked sick, and then I like freaked out and tried to gain a lot of weight. And then I, for like 2 to 3 years, I went through binging, restricting, and it was horrible. Like it's an exhausting cycle. And a lot of people don't actually know that. Like, I don't really admit to the binging part of it a lot because binging is almost more embarrassing than restricting. Cause it's like, you have no self-control, and it's hard to explain that to someone who doesn't get it. Like if I tried to talk to my dad about this, like he doesn't understand it, cause he's so intuitive with food, and people that have dealt with types of disordered eating, like you don't have that intuitive guide, especially when you're in the heart of it all. You don't have those hunger levels, you don't have hunger cues, like you just literally can't stop. And yes, it's like a survival mode, and I bet Denver will go way into the science with
this.
But finally, like, I had found a balance, and like now I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been, because I pretty much eat what I want and make sure I don't restrict, and I just like working out with that. And finding the balance has been like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
It's healthy.
And I know like Denver probably has thoughts about macro counting, but for me, macro counting did really help, and I still teach some of my clients that. So, but yeah, that's kind of like, that's kind of like my story.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What about you, babe?
She looks at me. She's like, your turn.
Your turn.
I'm proud of you, though. I'm glad you're in a good spot. You look like you're in a good spot, just
thanks,
like with
baby.
Your moods and what you're doing and everything that you're eating and all that.
Thanks, babe.
I did not realize that I probably had some subconscious issues. I did grow up like with the you have to eat everything on your plate thing, which is not healthy. We know that now. We obviously didn't know that in the past, but I would like literally finish everything in sight for like through college probably because I had to. Also, I was really, I don't know if you want to say blessed or not, but like blessed for a really long time with an extremely high metabolism to the point like people would call me anorexic and I was eating like 4 Jack's pizzas for dinner. Oh my God, it was, and I was like, nothing's wrong with me. I'm eating so much food. And then I started to get into college and then more so like post-college when you kind of, this sounds really dumb, but maybe people can relate. Like you kind of start to feel like irrelevant a little bit. Like you're like, I'm not around my friends. I'm just going to work every day. I'm trying to mix in working out and I'm getting busy, but I'm not doing anything that I really like to do. Mm-hmm. And I just would forget to eat breakfast. And it happened when I was living with my mom again. Mm-hmm. And because she would eat breakfast and then sometimes have like a super late lunch, which was just a salad, which I wasn't used to, and like have some nuts. And then we'd eat dinner like at like 9 p.m. So I just started like eating when she ate and when my sister ate. And at the time, Taylor is okay with me sharing this. She was having a binge eating problem. Mm-hmm. And we were like trying to like, you know, show her like different foods that you can eat. And like, you don't need to eat too much of this or like eat all the snacks that you want to see. And I just think I'd started taking on the issues that were always there. But I was like actually in my subconscious, like being like, I don't need to like eat this or like, you know, or I won't eat now. I'm not that hungry. Like I'm barely hungry. Little did I know my mom's sitting right in front of me with a, you know, disordered eating and her sister. Then I find out who I was commenting on, who looked kind of sick. Actually, his hand had anorexia since like the sixth grade. And still to this day has anorexia. So it's in my family. And obviously that's all stuff in confidence. So, you know, keep those things to yourself. But I'm comfortable telling our listeners' ears. But
and I do think like just like anxiety, depression has a little bit of a genetic component.
For sure.
I think there is part of that with disordered eating as well.
It's because it's anxiety related with me too.
Yeah. It's like OCD. It's something you can control.
Yeah. And when I forget to eat, it's more so I feel like out of control and I can control getting all these things done in like an hour span. But for some reason, eating, even though I know it's good for me, even though I want to eat, even though I don't feel like extremely chubby or whatever, it's just not on my list of to-dos.
Yeah.
It's a very weird subconscious thing. I'm trying to tackle it.
Mine is like, I should talk about this more later when she's on, but like now that I've been through the restricting binging, I can't let myself get hungry. So like I will always eat 3 meals plus snacks. And to be honest, like the best tip I would give anyone out there is all I have to say is like eating increases your metabolism. Like if you get hungry, that's awesome. That means your metabolism's working. Like I had the biggest ass breakfast today and I'm like, I won't be hungry till after this hair appointment. I was like ravenous and I'm like, oh, it's okay. God, my metabolism is working. Had to make a smoothie quick before I got here, even though we're going out to eat after this. Cause I'm like, I will not be able to hold off until dinner.
I know. Well, that's good. That's a good habit to get into. And it's a good, just eating. It seems like it's so simple. It's like our life thing, but it's, there's so many complexities to it. And like
the fact that it consumes people's brains and it's like it's just human, like we just have to eat. That's how like it's fueled, like literally we need it to stay alive, but yet people think about it all day and like I shouldn't, and it's
what,
like
what should I eat? Like my thing is like if we have like a something like a pizza, frozen pizza in the fridge and nothing in the nothing in the fridge, I would rather not, like, at, you know, when I was having my real issues, not eat, because I don't want to eat a bad pizza for me, because I feel better when I have healthy food.
Yeah.
So then I just wouldn't eat. But the fact of the matter is that's worse.
Yeah.
Because you're not putting food in your body. Yeah. So now I take healthy habits. I treat myself. I'm going to learn a lot from Denver today. And honestly, like my best way to get myself to eat, I have this one little tip, is like just literally enjoy, like treating yourself. Like for me, it's going to get a coffee, going to get a juice, going to meet you and getting like my favorite sandwich at Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Like that gets me to eat because I get excited about it.
Yeah.
And that's how I've started to like break that habit. And also because we were doing this health and wellness episode, we got to talk to the honor the day, our friend Jason and those guys over there, and they are willing to treat you guys, candid listeners, to a free juice or nut milk until December 1st. So Honor Coffee and Juice is a lifestyle brand and focuses on having products and services to make your day better, from coffee to juice to acai bowls made with scratched baked goods, and more. Anyone who says they're from Straight Candid and sent you that you get any free raw juice or nut milk until December 1st, make sure to be intentional and do something for yourself each morning and set your day on a positive note.
I love that.
Yeah. So,
thanks, you get Jason. It free. That's amazing.
You get it free. So just all you got to do is say Candid said and Candid Self sent you or Straight Candid sent you.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah,
right, and if you're in Minneapolis.
Honor is located...
It's in Minneapolis. It's technically right on the border of like Northeast and Roseville, I guess. Yep.
And
it's
Honor is spelled H-O-N-O-U-R if you need to look it up on your GPS because it is so good. I fucking love that place.
Soph and I have posted about it, I think, even too. Like I love it there.
They have a tahini brownie that I've had before and it's so good. Yeah.
They have a really good scone and I'm not a scone person and it's like feta, spinach and something else. And then their nut milks, their cashew nut milk and... It's cashew, turmeric, and then there's a
They have like a
juice.
Mexican hot chocolate one vibe,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do.
It's so good.
And then their green juice. Oh, God. They're really good. So go check it out. Treat yourself. Get yourself something good and feel good about yourself. So,
and last but not least, before we get Denver on here, I have a little something to say to you.
What do you got
to
say to me? Tell me.
This holiday season, I'm giving thanks to my friends at Manscaped. Do I tell my extended family that I bought my man the Performance Package 4.0 from the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming? I am in love with their products and his confidence has shot up since he started using them for all of his grooming needs. Give your man Manscaped this holiday season so his tree stands taller, if you know what I mean. Help him join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20 by going to manscaped.com. Think your holiday spread is good? It's time to give thanks to Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, the perfect package for his perfect package.
Oh, okay.
Their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce his grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin-safe technology. No one notices this until you call it out. It also gives you the ability to turn the 400K LED spotlight on and off when needed for more precise shave, plus it's waterproof. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20 at manscaped.com. Get him the best gift of all from Manscaped. His balls will thank you.
There we go.
Cutie. All right.
Christmas is coming up, so get ready. Maybe get yourself some Manscaped stuff. Put it under the Christmas tree. All right. We ready?
Christmas. Let's bring her on.
I think it's time for Denver.
No, you seriously don't need anything. We've done a Zoom podcast before and we can hear them just fine. So
we'll treat it like a little interview, but like more fun. Like
not an interview.
No, I meant like you're sitting at the computer. I meant like you don't need anything. Yeah. You're just there. Like you're like whatever. We're not interviewing you.
No, I know. And I'm excited because I'm so used to just like academia.
I know.
And you both are so real and candid, obviously.
Are you rolling? Fuck yeah. I was like, she's like, are we rolling? I'm like, repeat, say that again for the people in the back.
But seriously, because I'm just so used to like having to be so professional and having to cite my sources and having to do this and having to do that. And so it's just like refreshing to be able to talk to you guys like you're normal people and not
not
like literally like robots or anything
that's the point is like you're allowed to like share your knowledge, but like throw some swear words in there. That's what's candid about this. So please have fun with this and welcome Denver to Straight Candid Podcast. We're excited to have you.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yay. Do you want to start by just giving us like your little elevator pitch? Who are you?
Who the heck is Denver?
I know. Who is Denver? Besides the city, right?
Yeah. I love your name though.
I thought you lived in Colorado. I'm not kidding. I was like, oh yeah, she lives in Colorado. I know it.
I know everyone always says that. That's like their first thing. They're like, are you from Colorado?
Like, shut the fuck up.
Like, no, I was born and raised in Florida. But yeah, and it's difficult too because it's spelled differently. So like everyone always gets it confused. I have two last names, so that makes it difficult. It's like, what am I going to do when I get married? Like add another one.
I guess one more. What's three?
Yeah, right. So so my name's Denver and so I'm currently a sports nutritionist. I'm a certified sports and conditioning specialist and I'm in my master's for nutrition to become a registered dietitian. So like that's all the boring stuff. I grew up as an athlete. I played volleyball, and so I continued that through college. And that's really where my experience with disordered eating was pretty heightened, I would say. That was probably like the peak of it all. And so originally I wanted to study nutrition because, like, being an athlete, I was super interested in like fueling appropriately, ironically, because I didn't do that at all. And so that's where it all started. But as I discovered my disordered eating habits, because they are so normalized, I was almost in denial about it. I was like, well, like, I'm the health person. Like, there's no way that like I could be suffering from these issues. But after I graduated, that's where the interest of like overcoming disordered eating really became my like mainstream focus for nutrition, instead of kind of like the whole performance thing. So that's kind of like the rundown of it all.
That's all
today. Yeah,
it's crazy how you said you didn't know those things, you know, that you were going through, even as like you started to study nutrition, because they were so normalized. Do you mind like diving into like what those things are, and like, you know, how did you start to notice, or what did you not notice?
So it's really interesting, because so I studied exercise science, like going to college, and we're taught eating disorders, right? So like binge eating, bulimia, anorexia, and orthorexia nervosa is like more of a newer one. That's like obsession with healthy eating. But so we're taught these clinical definitions of eating disorders, but we never really dove into that disordered eating can exist, not just like not only eating disorders. So like you can still be suffering from these things, but not be at the clinical level.
And this is really interesting to me, because this was what happened with me. Is I thought that I was completely fine, and I just always called it like, oh, I've never really had an eating disorder. I just had disordered eating, I think. But I'm like, technically, like, would you consider them like the same thing? And like this, like, it's just as harmful, because I was doing some like crazy habits when I was a freshman in college, because it was still disordered. Like, and I was just in denial, because it's not like I wasn't eating. It's not like I was making myself throw up. It's not like I was obsessed with healthy eating. I was just so disordered about it. Like, so I was tracking everything.
Regimented.
Yeah. It really depends on like how your thoughts revolve around your behaviors. So the whole battle is like, well, for instance, like tracking, right? Like tracking your food. In some instances, like, it can be disordered, but if you look at it like just how it is, it's just a tool, right? So like you can look at it very objectively and be like, oh, like, wow, cool, like an apple is 100 calories, and like you not associate that with yourself in any way, shape, or form. But where it becomes disordered is you start to be like, oh, wow, like an apple, 100 calories. Like, oh my gosh, like I'm not gonna be able to eat lunch now. Or like, oh my gosh, this is so much sugar. Like I now need to starve myself, or now I need to do this, or now I need to overexercise. And so it's that like internal dialogue that really determines whether it's disordered or not. But I think a big problem too is that, just like you guys and like myself, where like we were really struggling with food, it's like you almost feel like you don't deserve help because you're not like labeled like, oh, I have an eating disorder. You know what I mean? So it's like, at what point do you then reach out for help? But it's like, no, like you're still struggling. Like you still deserve that help, and everyone should recognize that, you know?
Yeah, I think that you made a really strong point with that. And just like the fact of the matter is too, that like some people don't even realize they're disordered eating, because like you were saying, it's normalized, but even in their heads, they're like, well, who would I tell? Like, if I wanted to fix it, I could. If I tried to like, you know, eat, I could. I usually eat, or whatever it might be, or I usually restrict, or I don't always overexercise. So you're like, well, on to the next, like onto my, you're normalizing it. Like I've normalized it. Like I've skipped meals, and it's genuinely not on purpose. And I didn't think it was a control thing until, to be honest, Sophie was like, why didn't you eat lunch? And I'm like, I was too busy. She's like, you were too busy last Monday. And I was like, well, I don't know. I guess I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm like, do I have like something going on here? You know what I mean? Like, so it's just,
it's
yeah.
funny because if you've had disordered eating or eating disorders, you're really good at picking up other people's habits.
Yeah. Yep. Sophie mm-hmm. said that before too.
Just like already pay attention to other people's food, or at least like I did. Like anytime I would go out to eat, that was just part of like the disorder itself yeah. because you're just so attentive to comparing yourself. And that's a huge thing too, just like with social media and like societal pressures and how you should look like.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And right.
That's really funny that like, you know, when you're the one at the restaurant and you think you're the only one like paying attention to what everyone else is eating. I think it's funny because yes, that is very disordered. But also when I was going through like more of my intuitive eating, like recovery for a while, and like I let myself, you know, eat whatever the hell I wanted, it was actually really helpful to go eat with other people at that time. And like, I loved when I was dating, like let's say I had a boyfriend at the time who would eat so like intuitively, like stop with his oatmeal, like halfway gone. Like I was just never, I'd always eaten everything that I put in front of me because it was so regimented,
you know?
Clean plate
club, man.
Yeah. And it's just so interesting. Like, I think, would you say like surrounding yourself with like intuitive eaters was part of a recovery process for you? One question, two questions. Go back to like your habits. Go back to like your habits in college that were disordered. Like, I want to hear more of that story too.
I also want to hear what you noticed first and then what you realized you weren't noticing.
Five questions.
Yeah. But like with that, the latter.
Yeah. I would say definitely that being surrounded by other intuitive eaters was definitely help and just seeing like healthy behaviors. However, I would say it's really hard to find people in your life that are actually just like quote unquote normal eaters and that do eat intuitively, because you know, how many people in your life, like you can count so many on your fingers that like are either starting a diet or they were starting a diet last week or.
And those are the people that tell you.
Yeah.
The people exactly. don't.
Yeah. The people that don't say anything about it.
Yeah, exactly. More. So things like this is what I did. So when I graduated, and I'm probably going to tell the story backwards, but let's just start here because you guys want to know like,
yeah,
you know, what made me sane.
Give the deets.
So when I finished, like literally the day after I finished my volleyball career in college was the day where like bricks just like fell off my shoulders. I was like, I can finally like focus on myself and not have this like continual pressure to one, like look good in spandex, two, like always have to worry about if like my thighs are jiggling in photos and things like that, because you know, as an athlete, people judge your body before they judge your performance. And that's really unfortunate. And that's almost like in every single case, just within society, like you go for a job interview, they're more likely to like judge your appearance before they judge your qualities. And so that's a huge thing. But going into kind of the recovery process is, first, I just had to let go of that pressure, right? So I just had to let go of like, okay, like my worth is not in what I look like. And at the same time, I was kind of like rebuilding my relationship with exercise too, because I always use exercise as punishment. I never really enjoyed it. I was just like, it was always kind of like a reward punishment deal. And so I just started moving my body just to feel good, right? Just to be active, just to get like fresh air, just to do other things that like weren't included with volleyball. And it was interesting too, because I started dating my boyfriend, my current boyfriend now, right around then. And so it was really interesting because he loves to cook, but as a disordered eater, you don't like people cooking for you. So there were times like in the morning, I'm like, you can't use butter. I'm like, he would make eggs. And I'm like, you cannot use butter. And I couldn't, like, he obviously didn't understand at the time, but that was like a huge milestone that I eventually overcame. Just because like I saw him like using butter, using oils, like using these foods that I always feared.
The fears, and the foods that you were obsessing over and the foods that you couldn't control if he was using or not.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't control the amount of butter that he was using or like the amount of oil or cheese or like pasta portion. And so that definitely helped, I would say, just being in my relationship with him and like overcoming that at the same time. Another thing too, is immediately I started following like tons of dietitians on Instagram who kind of dealt with these types of things, who were intuitive eaters. And I started—
That's why I followed you.
Yeah. And I started interning for an eating disorder dietitian kind of around the same time that I was like curing my own issues. And so she introduced me into the intuitive eating book. So I was like, oh, wow.
I've read
like,
that.
Sophie's read that.
Yeah.
I gave it to Sid's sister too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's amazing. Like if anyone's struggling with disordered eating, like that is the number one go-to is like read this book, see what can apply to you and start practicing the principles, because I think that's just like the beginning.
Can you say the name of the book one more time for people listening?
Yeah. So it's called Intuitive Eating and it's by Evelyn Tribbley and Elise Reich.
You can get it on Amazon too. We got it from my sister.
Yeah. You can get it anywhere. But so starting to read those principles and surrounding myself with people who understood what was going on and who could give me tips on how to deal with what I was going through and who could explain that like what I went through was actually normal.
Can I ask you, who was the first person that you told that you were kind of struggling, or like maybe after you realized it, like who did you go to or tell?
Well, that's such a good question. I think my mom.
Mine was my mom too.
That's— I wanted to know because I know Soph's story so well too.
I think I told my mom.
Yeah.
How did she react?
You know, I kind of went about it, like I've told her bits and pieces, like over time. Like I didn't completely overload her at once, but I found out that she struggled with anorexia in like her 20s. And so I'm like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense. As to why I struggled too, and as to why, like, growing up, she didn't necessarily like push dieting on me, but she modeled those behaviors. Yeah. You know?
Do you also think there is any sort of genetic component, or is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Almost everything is genetic. You can always kind of tie it back to there. So like when in doubt, it's like, oh, well, my genetics.
Yeah. My genetics are this. My genetics
blame
are
it on the genetics.
My sister actually just did her 23andMe. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And we have like things on there, like the cilantro, that makes it taste like soap, where it says on there that we're, our entire family gene is lactose intolerant. And it was another thing about eating patterns. I'll ask her too. That's— but it was cool. Like very interesting. So I don't know, just because you said it was genetic, I was like, wait a minute, Taylor just did this test. And I was like so shocked.
Or another thing is if you eat asparagus and you can smell your—
mine smells. Yeah. Does yours smell when you eat? Yep. Immediately. It's so weird.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's like the next piss. You're like, oh my God.
It's like it's like embarrassing. It's like, how does this happen so fast?
That is so interesting.
Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Rewind to your college days.
Okay, yeah. So I guess going into some of these behaviors that I struggled with in like my darkest times, because it is really dark. When you think about it, you're like struggling alone.
It is dark. And like, that's why you sharing like even like that one post about what you would do when you were hungry. Like you should talk about that. But I was like, wow, I probably did weird shit like that too. And it was like so eye opening to see that I wasn't the only one doing that.
And that it's not normal. Like people don't know that they're not doing things that are normal until they're like, oh, someone's saying this isn't normal. Like, but my mom did that, or my sister did that, or does that. So it's like, this is just, I feel like it's going to eye open to everyone, just like it did to Soph on your Insta too.
Yeah. So I would say one of the biggest things that I struggled with, not only like in college, but growing up too, was binge eating at night. So, and that can be because of a few different reasons, what I've come to find out. The main one is not eating enough during the day. So when you're dealing with this pressure to be in a smaller body, to be skinnier, to look a certain way, you know, you end up restricting your food. And so you end up being hungry all day long. And then what happens is, you know, physiologically, your body's like, excuse me, ma'am, we need food right now. And so it's going to crave the most energy dense type of foods that is going to give it the most amount of calories because you've been starving it. Wow. So those foods are typically like the cakes and the cookies and the cereals and like all of those foods that are like super dense and that we fear and that we typically restrict anyway. And so that would make me believe that like I was addicted to these foods because I was binging on them at night. So my natural reaction was to then just restrict them entirely. Cause I'm like, okay, like if I have this binging problem on this food, aha, like I just need to get rid of it and then it won't happen anymore. But it was this constant cycle and you just don't know how to get rid of it. Because it doesn't make sense to like, oh, if you just eat more food during the day, like you won't be ravenous at night. So that was a really big thing for me. And it would go to the extent of like, I would eat just like plain egg whites in the morning. Okay.
I used to do that.
Disgusting. It's like zero calories. And of course I'm going to be hungry like 5 minutes later, but I just didn't piece together in my brain, I guess. It's really hard to think objectively about yourself because you could know what to eat. Like I knew how to eat like an athlete, but in my mind, I couldn't do it for myself. Yeah. Were you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, I played lacrosse through college too. And I had very similar patterns. Like I would do things like, cause I had to wear a little tiny skirt like for lacrosse, you know, and like a tank top. And I didn't want to see my elbow and my flab and my armpits. You know what I mean? Like when you squeeze your arms too, and I would eat light because you'd look more lean to play, but then I would have to binge. I would eat topper sticks like almost every night, you guys, like a whole thing because my body was like, you need food now, like not yesterday. And even in high school, I thought it was normal because I wanted to be more like fit and everyone was so fit in high school. And to be honest, I was already in amazing shape. Like, like as an athlete, think about it, in your, you know, 18 or whatever, I would go to work. I would go to practice for 3 hours and then I would go to Lifetime. Yeah. And I didn't think I had an issue. I just thought I was just working out, like getting better. Yeah.
I know.
That's a lot of working out.
Yeah. Like 6 hours a day.
It is a lot.
Sorry. And I just related with your athlete stuff. It all started coming back and I was like, I need to tell her this.
Yeah, no. And it's crazy too that like, so your mind will kind of like push these memories aside because it just tries to forget about them. But as time goes on, like certain, like for instance, I buy mini weights now. Okay, it's like my favorite cereal ever.
I noticed that from your Instagram. I'm like, wow, I need to get myself some mini wheats. Those look good.
They're so good.
I do love mini wheats.
Not a big cereal gal, but I'll try.
Have you ever had it with warm milk?
No.
Try it. Try it.
Your face right now. No, you're like, absolutely not.
If I couldn't sleep when I was younger, I would do warm milk with mini wheats. No, just try it before you judge.
Before you knock it.
Oh my gosh. That's...
You have to say like frothed milk because when I think of warm milk, I think like room temp. You know what I mean?
No, frothed. I just meant,
I know, but I have to think of like a hot, like coffee, like a latte, and then you're pouring the milk in there. Well, you know what I mean? Otherwise,
think of like oatmeal, you know?
I don't eat oatmeal often.
I love oatmeal. Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Side note. What about your Wheaties?
Okay. About my Wheaties. I never allowed myself to have any type of cereal in the house. I was very restrictive with my grocery list. Like any type of carb that I had, it had to be like super high fiber, like super low calorie. So anyway, so this is like nostalgic, not really, but because I used to eat my roommate's mini wheats. So my roommate loved mini wheats. And so at nighttime though, or like when they weren't there, when I couldn't control myself, like I would dive into her mini wheats. And so now that I eat them myself willingly, buy like the big thing at Costco and like make myself a bowl every day, I'm like, oh, like, wow, this is amazing. Like I have made peace with food.
That is such a funny story. I love that. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure like we had like in high school or in college, we had like a cupboard that was full. We called it our PMS cupboard. It was full of junk food. And I don't like, we definitely have friends and roommates that all dealt with disordered eating. I went to University of St. Thomas and it's very prevalent there. Like I'll be completely honest.
I was in the U in Greek life.
It's literally everywhere. And there would be times where like I would just buy Oreos and I would look at the package and the package would be gone the next day. And like, it was like one of us, like someone's binging, someone's restrict. Like it is just, it's crazy. And I think it's funny because like I've also dealt with binging when it's like, this was like my sophomore year when I was like recovering from what happened freshman year. Like mine was pretty fast in terms of like what had happened and the progression of it. But it's funny because now like I can keep like treats in my place. And like this morning after breakfast, I had two cookies because I wanted something sweet. And it's like I didn't have to eat the whole thing. And like back in the day, like if I would have had a bite of that, I would have ate the whole thing.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yeah, so it's the craziest thing because like every time something like that happens, it's almost like a really good reminder of the place where I was at and then where I'm at now. For instance, like I still have a package of cookie dough in my refrigerator and it's not even that great tasting, which is why it's still there. And the fact that I can say that like a cookie doesn't taste good to me is just like the best progress ever. Because when you're in that restrictive mode, it doesn't even matter if it doesn't taste good. It's like, it's the fact that it is the forbidden food that you're like, I'm just going to eat it all because I'm never going to be able to have this again. Like, I don't care like what it's like, you're not even truly tasting it. You're just eating it out of like impulse.
Wow. Yeah. That's the side that I don't know of as much. Because it's like literally science. Literally the nutrition of like what your body needs. Mine was always like opposite of like, if I had something that wasn't good for you, in my own apartment, like let's say in the morning, I'm like, oh my God, now I have all these cookies I got from Insomnia Cookies or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat. I would throw them away because I was like, I already had a horrible day of eating, or so I'd, you know, label it, which is not horrible when you have like two cookies on one night, like it doesn't matter. And I was like, I'll just get rid of them because then that way now I just, they're not even there. Like I can't do it again. But of course there's always different foods that you'll do it again with or whatever. But you know, out of sight, I'm like, oh, yeah, but it's not really healthy.
I do really like the science behind what you've been sharing. So why do people go through,
how is it like, is it family usually? Is it like people comparing themselves to other people? Is it subconscious and just general, like just your DNA? Like what is it?
Yeah, so it really, I mean, it depends on the individual, but kind of everything that you said does play a factor. And usually it comes from, because think about it. So when you're a baby, like you cry and you're fed, like you're able to stop when you're full. And so you're basically an intuitive eater then. So then like what happens? Well, you grow up and then you start to read magazines. Oh, J-Lo gained 20 pounds. Look how gross she looks. And so you start to read all these messages, which develop your beliefs around food, which then impact your behaviors around food. So it really depends on like how you were shaped as a young being. You know, that can dictate whether, or that can play a factor if like your parents were disordered eaters, And they could do it unintentionally, right? Yeah. I know, like, my mom, she grew up in, like, the depths of diet culture, and she was a model, too. And so that really played a factor in, like, how she felt the need to just restrict, 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 and always look thin. So that can play a factor, genetics, also just like societal pressures. So I think I'm hoping like that's just now starting to change, because now we have more weight inclusive brands. You're starting to see that a lot more in the fitness space, but we do have a lot more to go, but I think it does help. However, when you have this message that, you know, you have to be thinner in order to be accepted, that's going to take a toll on you. And that's really going to impact how your relationship unfolds with food and exercise.
I love the way that you broke down every single area that you could pull something from, or like something that you've seen from your parents. And quick side note is, it was, which is like, I'm starting to realize all these things. I kind of like knew they were there, but like, my mom openly talked about how she felt chubby every day, like every day. And like, I'm not knocking her at all. She's the most beautiful human being. That's like why it's so like, what? Like, you know, my mom, Jackson's seen my mom, tiny. And she's also 5'2". I'm 5'7½". And, you know, she obviously weighed, she would openly, I knew how much she weighed. Like, I knew when she didn't go to the gym, because she'd tell us she doesn't feel good about herself. She didn't go to the gym today. You know, like, I knew, like, I ate a cookie. Is that bad? Like literally, like, as a child up until continues still to this day. So, like, those things were just in my head. And when you hear it from a parent or a best friend or a sister or whatever, those are the people that you look up to. Those are the normal conversations that your normal considered person has. So then why would I ever think that that was weird?
Yeah.
Like, so then I started to be like, I feel chubby today. Or like, I didn't work out. I should feel guilty. I feel guilty that I didn't work out today. Like, so that's how mine like spitballed into like more. But I didn't know until literally for like a year ago when Sophie was like, why didn't you eat that? And then I started diving in because I understood it more because of her understanding.
And it's crazy because like, I think you're like, that's a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it doesn't have to be that verbalized in your family when you're growing up either. Like,
totally,
for example, like my parents never said or did anything wrong in terms of like food, besides the fact they would like call people overweight in front of me. And it was like weird. And then the second thing that I can remember is like, we only were allowed one piece of chocolate and I would like want two or three. Even when I was like an adult making my own decisions, my dad would be like, you don't need more than one piece. I'm like, but I want more than one piece. Like, it sounds good to me. And so now it's funny because I call them out on it. I'm like, no, I want more. I want two. Like, shut up. Like, I'll have as many as I want. Like, and I make sure that they knew what I went through. And I think that's important to also let your parents know, to people surround you, so they don't make those comments. Because, like, even just little comments like that, just like, you think about it for days.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. That was really important for me to like verbalize to my boyfriend, like as I was continually like trying to make myself better, is to be like, okay, these are the ground rules, never comment on my body and never comment on what I'm eating, which is really, so he's good about that. But so his parents are Cuban Jewish, and they're from Brooklyn, so they're very loud people and they feel free to just comment on everything.
Oh yeah, personality.
Right? Yeah, so anytime I come over, it's like, oh, like, you look so skinny, like, what have you been doing? And or it's like,
I'm only laughing because I can picture it, and you're just like, oh my God.
You're like, don't validate me, please. You're like, please? Don't compliment me, no.
Exactly. And so that kind of plays into a factor, but it's also like a good challenge for me. Like, now that I'm at such a stable state with my relationship with food, it's like, okay, let me check myself. Like, yeah, this would have affected me in the past, but now I know that I don't have to internalize this.
No.
So it's able to like pack it up in a bow, like throw it out. Like, it doesn't have to stay in my head. But it's funny too with parents. My dad is 75, so he has lived like a whole life of diet culture. And he will make comments to not only myself, but like my sisters too. And he'll just make comments about women in general. And be like, oh, well, she's got, you know, a big donk on
fat
her.
Ass. Oh, jeez. Fat ass.
Woo! I'm laughing because you're just like, oh, you like hit your head on the, your hand on the forehead.
Exactly. And two, he'll say something to me. Okay. For instance, so this dealt, and I don't know if we want to get into this, but this dealt with a lot of my disordered eating. Was I couldn't taste or smell food for roughly like 10 years of my life.
10 years?
Wait, why? How?
So I'm allergic to dogs and cats. And growing up, I always had them. I was always around them. And so what can happen is you can develop, they're called like polyps. So they grow like in your nose up here. And they block your olfactory nerves, which allow you to smell and taste. So that got worse and worse and worse until it just completely blocked off everything. And
wait,
so that was
how old were you when you couldn't taste or smell?
So like I just got surgery last year.
Oh, so wait, you were so you were still binging on these forbidden foods and you couldn't taste them.
Yeah, which
what the heck? Are you serious?
That just shows that it's all like, it's all physiological.
Yes.
Because it's not based off.
No, it's based off of control, not taste.
And it's mental too. Because, okay, so hear me out. The way I would decide what to eat, because obviously like I know what these foods taste like from memory. You know, it's not like I've never tasted them before. And it was still comforting based off of the texture. So whether it was like soft or whether it was crunchy or whether it was salty, sweet, spicy. And so I don't know if you guys had COVID, but it's literally the same. Yeah. So did you lose your smell and taste?
I didn't taste for 6 months almost.
Yeah.
And smell. I smell just came back like a few months ago, but not everything, but most things now. But yeah, it was almost like a year of like just. And I ate the same.
So you could taste like sweet, salty, spicy, right?
Towards the middle, yeah, but more so just texture. Yeah. Like most things mm-hmm. just tasted like nothing, basically.
Yeah. And so like that's how I would determine what I was going to eat. So and it was so mind fucking because in my head, I couldn't tell anyone about this. Like my parents knew. But I couldn't tell anyone about it because their immediate reaction is like, well, then why don't you just eat salads all day long?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
People said that during COVID too. They said that to me.
They're like, why don't you just eat everything healthy, whatever? And I'm like, that's not how it works.
You still crave.
Like, what?
Exactly. You still crave things and it becomes a problem when like you can't fully satisfy them. Because taste and smell and like the full experience is really how you gain that satisfaction. And that's a huge part of like becoming an intuitive eater. It's like you remove these food rules so that you are able to satisfy, you know, your mind, your body, and your experience around food. It's not about only viewing food as fuel. It's also like viewing food as this thing that satisfies you and fulfills you and so that you don't have to think about food all the time.
Yeah, the thinking about it, that's important as hell. I have like two questions for you that like kind of go hand in hand. Like the first question is, how do you know when you need help? Like what do you in your mind categorize as like someone needing help, or when did you, you know, realize, oh my God, I think I need help about this? That's my first question. I'll wait to ask the second.
Yeah, no, that's a really important question. If it is starting to creep, like this disordered eating patterns, if it's starting to creep into, you know, your daily thoughts, like not only when you're deciding what to eat, but if it's like after the fact, if it's before the fact, like you start revolving your life around this like eating regimen that you're doing and these behaviors, or like you start noticing that you're trying to compensate for these things, or you feel like even chronic dieting, you know, I feel like every mother, older person, like anyone who has lived a lifetime has gone through countless diets, and that's disordered because you're weight cycling, You never feel fully satisfied with yourself and with food. And so if you start to recognize these patterns, I think that's the first thing to do. If you don't feel comfortable, like, reaching out to a professional, you can go and buy like the intuitive eating help or intuitive eating book. And that's a way to kind of help cope yourself. And then reaching out to a professional.
Can you give a few tips from that book that maybe like resonated with you, or you could like give to the listeners, and like how to, like, if someone's listening now and thinking like, I want to start trying to intuitively eat, like, how can we like transition into that? And how would you explain intuitive eating to someone who's listening?
So intuitive eating is really regaining trust within your body. So paying attention to its cues. So your body will tell you what it needs.
But not always. Like, I remember when I was going through my binging, like, I never felt hungry. I never felt full.
Yeah. And so that's the hard part too. Intuitive eating is 10 principles. And so you kind of go through each one of these and apply them to yourselves. The first one, and most importantly, is to reject the diet mentality. And so if you're really trying to gain a secure relationship with food, like, it's the hardest step and it's the most important one, because your mind is filled with all of these rules around food, whether it's fear around carbs, whether it's fear around fats, like certain foods people have triggers with. And so you have to release those, and you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to give up dieting. It doesn't have to be forever, but just to make yourself sane, like, at least for this period of time, so that I can regain trust with my body. It's a weight neutral approach to food. So the goal isn't to lose or gain weight. Some people may experience weight loss because they've just been binging and restricting all their lives, and they don't have this normalcy around food. But some people may gain weight, some people may stay neutral. It's really about that kind of relationship piece and finding like security around yourself and the food and exercise. So that's like the long definition of it. And another really important principle, I would say, is the satisfaction piece. And that's because, think about, my initial thought is, think about the fitness space. Like, you guys are coaches, you guys know.
The fitness world is sick.
Yeah.
It's so sick and brutal.
It's bad.
And they make you feel like shit for enjoying yourself. You can't enjoy yourself. You can't just go work out just to have fun. Like, you can't just eat a salad just because it's going to like nourish yourself. No, they have it all twisted. It's like, no, you're going to eat the salad because you're trying to get as small as possible and lean as possible. And it's all about discipline, and you have to be hard on yourself. And so there's no like race, you know what I mean?
That when you say that too, is like when people say in class, like, this workout is for your meal on Sunday, or like your night out, your cocktails, or what was the one, the Thanksgiving dinner, like the day after. I will never say that when I coach because
when I was disordered, I believed that shit, you know?
I did too. I used to work out. Now it's like, just because I do what feels good for my body. Some days that's a hard ass berries or altar class. Some days that's just me like going to the gym and walking in the treadmill and doing some leg lifts. Like, who gives a crap? I do it now to feel better, but genuinely, like, you playing hockey and lacrosse so competitively year round in competitions where you were trying to be the best, I literally would do it as punishment, or as in college, some, like, I ate that pizza, like, I need to like go work it off. And I can't believe people still say that even in the fitness space, because I'm like, we know better than anybody else that is not healthy. And these people, like, who are coming to class, regardless of what shape they're in, do not need to have these horrible cued ideas in their brain.
They think,
like, this isn't punishment.
They think over-exercising and under-eating will solve their issues. In reality, it just makes everything worse.
Makes it more extreme.
Yeah. Sorry, back to the satiety.
Preaching. Sorry about that. I just got really heated.
Yeah, no, I get heated so much too. Not as much anymore. It mainly comes from social media, but I feel like I have just created this bubble around my social media where it's just like everything that I like preach and believe in. So in my fantasy world, I'm like, oh yeah, disordered eating and bad people in the fitness space don't exist anymore. But anytime I'm given that reminder and I see something like that, I'm like, how? I'm like, how are people still thinking this way? And it's so toxic. It's like, how is a culture to keep going to punish yourself and like not enjoy life? Like, how is that a good thing? You know,
exactly. I have, sorry.
I think you weren't done wrapping up the second satisfaction part
about the intuitive eating book.
Yeah.
Oh, the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it stems from, what we just talked about, but being able to find satisfaction with food is so, so, so important, because I think a lot of people don't do that. They feel bad for it. They feel this guilt and shame after they eat something that is their favorite food. And it doesn't have to be that way. And a lot of the times, you know, you can find satisfaction in fueling your body with nutritious foods, right? Because after a week long of eating pizza, or like a weekend bender of drinking and eating your night out away, right, you don't feel good. And so you're gonna be craving like nutritious foods. And so that's a way of feeling satisfied through nutritious foods. But there's also a way of feeling satisfied through like emotionally eating, like eating at a birthday party when there's like birthday cake. Like that's something that is going to be satisfying for you and that you don't have to feel bad about. So it can go both ways. And it's about like finding that healthy balance in between.
Wow, I love that. These things I didn't even like notice, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I know a birthday party and eating. Like, yeah. Why would I not? Like, because I feel good, because it's an emotional piece. Wow. The question I was going to ask before we kind of like get towards the end and wrap up, and we had one final question about advice for yourselves, but that's coming. But I want to ask you, like, for somebody, which I'm sure many of our listeners have felt when they're, you know, feeling like they're on the up and coming and they're like feeling more healed, let's say, and they, you know, they're intuitive eating and they're eating healthier and better and overall, and they have a day that goes in reverse, you know, like, you know, it's a bad day of eating and you're back in your old habits. What would you say to somebody in those habits and a relapse? Like, yeah, just what would you say to them? What would you tell them?
It's going to happen. You know, I dealt with the same thing, like even through recovery, like I would go through instances where like I did binge on something and it was just like an impulse decision. But the difference is that I was able to assess myself afterwards. Okay. And so you then look at the situation, let's say it was that you binged on a package of cookies. So then you look at the situation and you think to yourself, you know, what can I do differently next time from a non-judgmental approach? So it's about kind of, what's the word? Like
analyzing the situation?
Yeah, like analyzing the situation from a non-judgmental space.
Yes.
So that you can move on from it. It's just one situation. It's not going to happen repeatedly because you're able to recognize it and you're able to do something differently, whether it was like you can then think, okay, maybe I didn't eat enough in the day, or maybe like I'm really stressed and I need a different stressing coping mechanism. So being able to like ask you these questions and just look at it from a very like curious perspective keeps that judgment away and keeps you from like needing to restrict again.
If someone is binging, like what's your go-to? Like how would you, if someone's dealing with binging right now, I guess, like what would you say to them to like help them kind of get past, like what's tips
when in the middle of a binge? First initial, yeah.
Yeah, tips. So eating enough during the day is the number one thing.
Yep.
So that your body doesn't override you and be like, hey, like, bitch, I need food now. Mm-hmm. So, and that can be really hard, right? Because like after you binge, you feel like you need to restrict completely the next day, but that's completely the wrong move to take. You really need to eat balanced and include all parts of a meal. So if you're restricting carbs, like, you really have to focus on including that. Carbs, fats, proteins, including balance within your day is going to help prevent that. Another big thing too is emotional support. So a lot of people turn to food for that. And if you recognize that at the end of the day, you feel really stressed or you feel really overwhelmed and you're turning to food to cope with that, that's a sign that, okay, let's try to figure out a different coping mechanism. So there's different things, like there's movement, you can do like journaling, you can do listen to a podcast. Like,
take a bath.
Take a bath, yep. I love that. Go on a walk.
Yeah, exactly. Go for a walk or like play with your dog or like anything that can give you that same response that isn't food.
I love that.
I'd say those are two really big ones.
They're huge. People need to hear those things.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. You have been filled with so much knowledge. Like, I knew it was going to be loaded, but I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've never wanted to just listen to somebody as much as I wanted to listen to you.
We haven't even scratched the surface. I know. Like,
and that's why I'm like, we're going to have you back then. We're sorry. Like, we're going to be bugging you again. But
I ramble on and it's like the end of the day. So I'm like, oh my gosh.
No,
like,
no, you're amazing. And it's the end of our day too. So we're all feeling it always. But before we even like say, see ya, sayonara, you're amazing. What would you tell your 20-year-old self? Because our podcast is, you know, we have people listening from any age, but majority of our listeners are around that 18 to 24 mark. And it could be about intuitive eating. It could be just any advice that you would have given your 20-year-old self. Like, what would you tell you back then?
I would tell younger Denver to stop caring about what other people think of her. And I know that's like so common to like stop thinking about what other people think of you, but it is so important because that ultimately is the reason why you're struggling with food. Right? Because you're trying to manipulate your body a certain way to fit someone else's perfect version of you, which isn't even really what you want for yourself. So your anxiety problems come from that. It really ultimately stops you from becoming the best version of yourself. So I think that's really important. And it comes with time. Like, it comes with growing up. Like, we eventually stop caring about what other people think of us. But to that point too, it's like the people who are going to judge your appearance, like, you don't want that relationship anyways.
Preach.
Wow. Yeah.
Preach that.
Like, very they're true. Then too shallow to even be significant in your life. So you don't need that. And that's a relationship that is just built on glass. Like, that's not a strong relationship and that's not something that's going to last. So therefore they're insignificant to you.
Insignificant.
Why did we just do that at the same time?
Know.
I'm scared, but oh yes. My God. Thank you.
That was perfect. You don't know that.
That took it home. Took it home.
Took it home. Wow.
Oh Denver, wow. I got chills. I'm not kidding. I might cry.
That was really good.
It just hits me. It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
Like,
we are our own advocates. Like, we run the world. Like, you run your own life. So, like, let's go.
You know what? And the minute I stopped letting people's judgments affect my life was the minute I actually became somebody who I appreciate. And
we started a podcast.
And we started a fucking podcast.
Yeah. Exactly.
And guess what?
For like your endeavors too, like, y'all started this amazing podcast and you're completely yourselves, you're able to relate to others and you're able to make like actual impact. But if you decided to let someone else's opinion of that like stop you from doing this,
or like the small percentage of people that like disagree with what we're talking about or disagree with what we're doing, it's like, same with you.
It's like the people who are judging you for like making a podcast and being yourselves or whatever, they're too fucking scared to do it themselves.
Or they comment with a fake profile too. Or the man that told me way back when in middle school, I'll never forget this. He's like, you shouldn't wear your hair in a ponytail. Your nose is way too big. And you know what I want to say? Like, my side profile. And I want to say, fuck you. I don't care. And you know why my nose is big? That's because I'm French, honey. And that's my heritage. So suck a fat one.
Suck Thank a you. Fat one.
Sorry.
Yes.
I had to say that. But suck I just, a fat one. It just feels so good to cut those haters out. It just feels good.
And Denver, what is your, like, if people, I guarantee we're going to have, like, a few listeners that want to reach out to you. Like, what is your Instagram handle or how the best way for someone to get in contact with you? Obviously, everyone should follow you, but.
Yes.
Yeah. So my Instagram is my name. So it's Denver, D-E-N-V-Y-R.
Cute.
I love that name.
Yeah. So you can find me there. I'm on TikTok too.
Yes. Your reels and TikToks are my favorite. I love them.
I'm going to go creep on your TikTok.
They're so helpful.
I'm not kidding. I need this.
It can be hard. It can be hard sometimes. You have to be super creative, and it's hard to do that when you're just like in academia.
I know. And you're burnt. I get that. Well,
but those are the two main platforms that I'm on. And yeah.
We appreciate you more than you have any idea. Like, this has, it's sometimes like the best case when you don't realize you need to hear some things and you hear them and you realize like you have stuff, things to work on, and that's okay. And a lot of people do.
And that's kind of why, like, we do such a wide array of topics with this podcast is because we just snuck this one in there conveniently for all the college sorority girls that do listen to us. It's like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not putting a stigma on anyone, but like, we do know that, like, that's a large population of our listeners, and there's a lot of those people deal with disordered eating that may not even know they do. So this was very helpful, very impactful, and I think a lot of people are going to get a ton of out of this episode. So very much appreciate you.
We appreciate the heck out of you for being here.
I'm so excited. Thank you guys for having me.
I do have one last little wrap up. Do you know? Sorry.
No,
you,
I was just laughing at you because you're like, one more. Well, and I always do it.
That's because I forgot.
That's why I was laughing.
Do you know what a straight-handed moment is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have one?
I was thinking you were going to ask.
No, we wouldn't let you get away with it.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so it was last weekend. It was the boat show down here.
Hey.
And in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So, you know, big yachts and all that.
I love it already.
So I was just casually there with my boyfriend. We're just looking at boats, right? And this guy with a camera and a microphone comes straight up to me. And he's like, hello. He's like, can you please tell me about your experience at the boat show? And I'm like, in my head, this is what my boyfriend always says. He always says, all publicity is good publicity. It doesn't matter if it's good
or
bad.
So true.
So that's the initial thought in my head. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, sure, I'll do it. Immediately regretted that.
On the mic, oh, God.
First, because he's like, okay, take off your glasses. I'm like straight out of bed.
He's just like, wait, let me help you. Take off your glasses.
Yeah, he's like, take off your glasses. It's like super sunny outside. I'm like, okay. And then second thing, I'm like, I'm just looking at boats here. What could I possibly say to this camera right now?
He's like, I'm just looking for rich daddy yachts.
I'm like, I'm looking at yachts that I clearly cannot afford, like just enjoying my day. And then he started asking me, which one is your favorite? And I'm like, what am I supposed to say?
The big white one over there.
The big white one that I can't afford. I'm never going to be able to touch. Like, so I think I said something like the one that I can lay out on in front. It was just super awkward.
That's so uncomfy.
Yeah, I was like, this is why I'm never going to do one of these things again. And yeah, that was my straight candid moment.
The one that I can lay out on. You're like this.
You're like,
you flip your hair. The one that I can lay out on and suntan.
And then you awkwardly smile into the camera. I can just picture it now. Like, yeah.
I love that.
It was exactly like that. And
so can you send us this video?
So if I ever find it, I swear to God, it haunted me for the rest of the day. I kept asking my boyfriend Ryan. I'm like,
oh my God, I think I saw it on local television.
Yeah, wait, I did.
She's laughing. She already knows I'm lying. I'm like, God dang it. I wanted to get you. Oh, yeah, that is so good. I appreciate you sharing your straight candid moments.
Thanks for sharing.
They're tough to share. I had a tough weekend, so
Yeah. If you listen to the full podcast at the beginning of this intro, you'll hear our solid moments.
I had a little too much fun in Vegas. So it'll get you. No, we appreciate you.
Thanks, Denver.
You are amazing as an individual and a human, and we'll likely have you back because, like Soph said, we didn't even scratch the full surface of, you know, your people's relationship with food, disordered eating, the past, the reasons why we have it. But all I have to say is, people out there, treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Check out Denver's page. Yeah. Get educated and
honestly, spend a couple minutes scrolling through her Instagram feed. I think it's really helpful. And obviously, thank you, Jurdy, for being here producing and the Back Pocket Production. But thank you
producing us. And Run to Honor.
And follow us.
And follow us if you can.
At Straight Candid Podcast.
And at Candid Sid and at Candid Soph. And Run to Honor. You get until December 1st. Go get your free juice or your free nut milk.
Or that free tahini brownie.
Nut milk sounds weird, but I promise you it is good. I've had it.
I almost just said get the...
Just tell them Straight Candid sent you. So, Denver, we appreciate you. And we will talk very soon.
Bye.
Happy Thursday, all. Bye.
That's
all. Thank you so much, Denver.
I'm like hot and sweaty now.
I'm sweating. I'll show you my armpit.
Oh, I don't want to show you.
I actually really appreciate, really bad. Like, Sid and I talk really fucking fast, and, like, we don't really think before we talk, and I could tell, like, everything you were saying was very intentional, and, like,
you're very intentional.
It was, you did an amazing job, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, I get really hot and sweaty, like, anytime.
We're literally
a Zoom call for anything. And so I'm like, oh my God. But no, this is a lot of fun. And it honestly comes from just you have to be so careful when talking about food. Mm-hmm. And so I've just like learned that from like my internships with disordered eating and people with eating disorders. Like you have to like think about every word that you say. So yeah, I hope I didn't ramble on.
I wanted you to ramble more. So like,
yeah, to be honest, like all the details you went into were amazing too, because people like really, when they're listening, they like to relate. They like to hear personal stories and they like to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did an amazing, amazing job.
Yay.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.